This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline here on Baskin and Phelps. We bring in super friend of the show, Brian Anderson. He is the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. On television, we all remember him as a pitcher, though, for the Cleveland Indians and of his glory days at Wright State and at Geneva. Hello, B.A. How are you today?
You know what? I'm not nearly as good as I was a week ago when we were in person, socially distanced, but in person and on for the hour. This just isn't the same. But you know what? We'll make do.
Really there have been many requests for you to drive a Zamboni after that. I just want you to know that. I'm sure that there's every rink around Northeast Ohio will let you take a ride on the Zamboni or, in fact, drive it. I actually saw a Zamboni drive into the glass the other day. So I'm sure you would probably do an excellent job if you're looking for another career.
Listen, that may have been me. That may have been me. By the way, I did take your advice and drive back behind the rink and took a look at the baseball field, and you're not kidding. What a sweet setup for a high school team.
Yeah, I was talking about Gilmore Academy is where we were last week to go do the show. And I mean, if you know the origins of that whole Figge Field that's back there and the Rawlings, you know, obviously Rawlings is a huge name when it comes to athletic equipment across the, you know, at one point the Figge Corporation owned that. So that's where you kind of get into that. Now that I'm telling a backstory on something that I probably don't need to. B.A., we were talking about the Indians earlier, and just, like, how should we feel about the Indians going into this season? I'm like, okay, you know, they've got pitching. They're still in the AL Central, so you never know. A couple injuries. Every team in the AL Central always seems to be a couple injuries away from falling. But I don't know how to feel about the Indians other than I want to be optimistic. I really want to be.
Well, you know what? I think that plays right along with the first phrase that came to mind when you started to, you know, go down that road. My first thought was cautiously optimistic. That would be my feeling. You know, this isn't the same Indians team of years past where you're like, they're the favorites, the prohibitive favorites to win that division. How deep can they get into October? It's not that same team, but it's still a team that could sneak up on you. And if things do break right, they could make some noise in the division and get into the postseason. So for me, it would be cautiously optimistic. But you're going to have the pitching staff is going to be on point. That pitching is going to have to come through. And you're going to have some position players that maybe play above where you may have them slotted. You know, they've got 10 guys going for the outfield spots, and it doesn't seem like much of that out there is settled. So you're going to have some guys emerge and step forward for the Indians to accomplish anything this year.
B.A., if you look at that rotation right now, Bieber and Savali are 25, Tristan McKenzie's 23, and Plesac and Quantrill are each 26. And that doesn't bother me at all. That all of these guys are in their mid-20s. In fact, I kind of like it. Do you have to have a veteran on a staff, or does that not matter? I mean, a guy in his 30s.
Yeah. I think it would be, in some cases, it would be ideal to have a guy like that. But I think as far as the Indians are concerned, I think Shane Bieber's that guy. I mean, this is the guy with the pedigree, seems to be a grown-up, and more mature than a guy in his mid-20s, at least from afar. And so, you know, he could be that guy. But, you know, listen, it's interesting with really players in general and athletes in general. But, you know, those days of having those guys in their 30s, baseball is going young. And these guys are exposed at a much younger age, and they become guys at 25, 26, 27. That's in the midst of their prime. And so to have a rotation with a lot of guys in that age bracket speaks to, obviously, their talent level. They're young. Hopefully they can stay healthy. And I think in the Indians' case, you don't need that guy in your 30s, where maybe with another rotation, you really would want that guy. You would want that leader. But I think that as far as the Indians go, I think Bieber's that guy, hands down.
You know, we're talking about here in Ohio about having 30% attendance again. The governor just said, you know, if you're outdoor, you'll be able to have up to 30% capacity. How much of an effect did that have on the game last year? Like, I'm sure in the beginning it just felt really awkward, but as the season went on, and I'm looking for it from a Rays perspective because they did have success in the short season last year, how much did not having fans affect it? And I don't even want to go into Tampa's attendance woes, but how much did it affect the game and the players on the field? What do you think?
You know, I think it did have an effect. I think that at some point guys got used to this is the way that it is, and it's about being a professional and going out there and playing the game at a high level. And I didn't think you saw a big drop-off in the quality of play. So that means these guys were out there giving it their all. And they were, but listen, playing in front of an empty stadium, it stinks. There's no atmosphere. And as much as you pump in the crowd noise like they did and try to, you know, make it relevant to what is going on in the game, I thought that was a nice touch for TV. But it's not the same when you hit that home run and they make the crowd noise and you're still rounding the bases looking at an empty stadium. So there's no question it had an effect on these guys, maybe more mental than anything else, because like I said, the quality of play still looked very good. So these guys, it's not like, the games were sloppy and guys just weren't into it, but it wasn't the same. And I think that when you got into the playoffs and you started to see fans in the stands, these guys, their eyes would light up when you would ask them about it. You know, the first time the Rays, you know, got to play with fans in the stands, they were so excited. Like, you know, even though it's, the capacity is whatever it was, you know, in the World Series, were they 12,000? I'm not even sure what the number was. But even though the stadium was a quarter full or 20% full, they were like, but there were people there. There was atmosphere. And as excited as they were talking about the few fans in the stands, you know that no fans in the stands, you know, certainly had an effect on some level.
Brian Anderson joining us. Brian, Francisco Lindor made a comment earlier this week about weightlifting and that he should have done more last year and that it affected him late and everything else. And I know some folks have taken that to the extreme of saying that he dogged it last year. I don't buy that myself. Okay, maybe he could have worked harder in the weight room. But I've always thought this, and you know more than Andy and I do about this. I've always thought the minute a guy steps on a mound, he's really trying. The minute a guy steps in a batter's box, I mean, nobody goes up to the plate thinking, yeah, I'll just, whatever happens here. At least I've never thought that. Does that ever happen? Because I can't imagine, you know, if you're 60 feet, 6 inches away and you're throwing a baseball, man, you're probably locked in. And I would think that's the case. Is it or is it not?
No, it absolutely is. Because you can get your hat taken off your head. I mean, you better be locked in. And there's just something to be said about the competition. You may not be having the best of days, but you step into the batter's box and it's you and that pitcher, and all the eyes are on you on that matchup right there. And so, you know, guys absolutely are locked in. Same thing when you're on the mound. That guy standing in that batter's box with that bat, he's trying to embarrass you. He's trying to take you deep. He's trying to hit a ball extremely hard, drive in runs. He's trying to make you look bad. And so, yeah, you definitely, the competitive juices flow no matter what. But there is a certain amount of work that goes on behind the scenes that allows you then when you step into the box or step onto the mound and now you're ready to compete to give you, you know, maybe a better chance. And I was actually shocked that Lindor would call himself out. You know, you never want to say, yeah, I could have done more. Well, you know, I mean, then do more. You know, don't tell me about that. And it's not like anybody was questioning him anyway. So for him to just proactively come out and kind of throw himself under the bus and question his own work ethic, I can understand why people get a little bit riled up about that, because when I read it, I'm like, well, that was a stupid thing to say. I mean, you don't do that. Don't come out and say, yeah, you know, especially it's a playoff team. And it was your last year with that team, and you were beloved in this city, and you're like, yeah, my last year, I really didn't give it all that I had, you know, training, and got tired at the end of the year, and I just wasn't there. Whoa. I can understand why people get fired up about that, because that, to me, when I read it, it didn't look very good. It didn't sound very good.
PA, what's the key to success in Tampa? I mean, I've always looked at that organization and said, how do they keep doing this? How do they refill the minor leagues? How do they do some of the things they do to stay competitive and to be a player in the American League East when you're playing with the big boys? And, you know, it's not like, again, you're not bringing in huge dollars with folks that are coming into the, you know, the world's greatest place to play baseball. Not, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
It's tough. How do they do it? How do they survive and succeed?
They have a blueprint, and they have a blueprint on how they want to build a team, and they know exactly what they're looking for in a player, and they know how to go about acquiring said player, and they take what they like about their analytics department too. Is, I think, I don't want to say at this point light years ahead of everybody else, but they are at the cutting edge. They are right up there as far as analytics department goes in Major League Baseball. They have been at the forefront for years. Teams have certainly caught up to about where they are, but they just know what they're looking for. You know, they made a trade. Ronaldo Hernandez was the number one catching prospect in the Rays organization. And you know, the Rays have had issues trying to have a catcher for more than a year or two at a time. It's a position they've been looking to fill for a long, you know, for as long as I've been there. And so their number one catching prospect, they end up trading him to the Boston Red Sox for Jeffrey Springs, a lefty, and Chris Mazza, a righty, who had both been designated for assignment. And now everybody was like, why would you give up your number one catching prospect for two guys who just got DFA'd? Boston, not exactly, you know, they're not at the forefront of the AL East right now. They're kind of in a rebuild, or at least a retooling. They DFA these guys, and you trade for them with your number one catching prospect. I guarantee you, that Jeffrey Springs and Chris Mott, you will hear about those guys this year. They will pitch well above where anybody thought that they would, because the Rays obviously liked something about each guy that, you know, that Boston was gonna let him go. And so they'll bring these guys in. They'll take what, maybe it's their four-seam spin. Maybe who knows what it is. But they will end up having these guys pitch above where you thought they would be capable of pitching at. And that's what they do. They make moves like that, and those moves, the vast majority of them pay off. And guys, Peter Fairbanks last year, never really didn't hear of him. Good fastball, but he wasn't putting up any kind of numbers. He comes over, he becomes an absolute dominant, lights out, back end of the bullpen reliever for the Rays. And they do that time and time again at many different positions, but especially with pitchers. And that's how they do it. They just know what they're looking for, and they know how to make it the best it can be.
We were talking earlier about the shift, Brian, and should it be outlawed? Some of the folks called in and said, you know, get rid of it. I don't know that you can ban it. I don't know. What do you think about the shift? And Andy and I both said, slap the ball the other way. I mean, that's the easiest thing going. But does that serve the purpose of the team, you know, getting a guy to just get on base with a single rather than go deep or hit a double or anything? Should you do something like that? What's your approach on that?
You know, I don't have a problem with the shift for the reason that you just said. I mean, if they came out and said, hey, listen, you have to have, you know, two infielders on the right side of second base and two infielders on the left. Now, they can play up the middle and shade, and they can do all that, but that's going to be the split, and you're not going to be able to have a full shift. That would be, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But I'm of the mindset, if they want to put every guy over there on the right side, find a way to hit it to the left side. If they're giving you base hit after base hit, take them. And pretty soon, you do that enough, and they won't shift on you. And now when they don't shift on you, now you can go back to, you know, the type of hitter you are. Now, that's a lot harder to do than, you know, than just saying that, because guys have been trained coming through, you know, from really from high school through college in the minor leagues. They have been trained to be pull side heavy with launch angle. So now to try to tell that guy, well, just slap that ball the other way, he probably doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
He's never worked on that. Everything has been trying to pull with power and get it elevated. So hitting the ball the other way, staying back, letting the ball travel, and driving it the other way, some guys aren't very good at that because they've never worked on that. They've never done that because that hasn't been part of the game over the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's been launch angle and pull. So I think it's probably tougher for these guys to make that adjustment, but at the same time, maybe it's something you should work on in the offseason, because if they're giving you those hits, take them, you know, and eventually they're going to stop giving you those hits, and they're going to play you more straight up. Look at DJ LeMahieu. You know, that's a guy that you talk about maybe the best hitter in the major leagues right now, pure hitter, because he can drive the ball the other way. They have to play him straight up. He has enough power. You know, he's going to hit you 20-plus home runs, and he is just a tough, tough out, but that's a guy that is kind of, you know, coming from Colorado, you didn't think that he was going to be capable of being that type of hitter, and getting a front row seat and watching him do his thing. Boy, he is nasty, and you got to play him straight up, and that opens up a lot of other holes for him.
Brian, as always, thank you. We always appreciate your time. We look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, my man.
Hey, by the way, fellas, before I go, isn't it strange that we are now almost a week into spring training with full squads, and still the NFL dominates the news cycle? It's unbelievable. It's like baseball hasn't even started yet.
It's true.
Yep. Welcome to our world, Brian.
I know. It's remarkable. All I hear about is Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. I'm like, you guys remember spring training has started? That used to be celebratory. And now it's taken a back seat to the NFL. Kind of annoying.
Yeah, maybe it says something about baseball and how they need to change some marketing aspects, or maybe get some stuff that will create a little bit more excitement. Brian Anderson, thank you so much. We always appreciate talking to you, my man.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, B.A.
All right, B.A., take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.